Check WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively in Chestertown. We're on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. The hashtag is Crab Cake Tour. Big thanks to Dennis Kolatsis and our friends at Coons Ford, as well as Royal Farms and Chicken Palooza. Make sure you get the chicken box and gassing up, and our friends at Wise Markets who have properly fruited me up today to make sure I haven't had enough fruit on this trip. I'm 6 days in. Heather Mazier is saying, get some French fries. I'm like, No.
All right, if I'm not going to bust your chops about French fries, I do have to say something about, I get plugging your sponsors and talking about the beer and wine at Royal Farms, but I do hope, if you've been here on the shore, that you've stopped at some of our amazing craft breweries and not have not been partaking from Royal Farms. I mean, you said you were in Cambridge earlier. Did you go to RAR?
I had.
On your way here, when you turned right off
coming back next
50
weekend.
To 213, you got to go to Tin Ike. It's the only women-owned brewery.
Let's go. Where is that one?
She's at the corner of
what town?
Well, it's Queen Anne's County. It's right outside.
Spell
of
it. Let's go. What's it called?
Ten T-E-N. The second word is E-Y-C-K. Ten Ike Brewery.
Okay, Queenstown, 17 miles from here.
Yeah.
Look at that. Okay.
It's right at the corner of Route 50 and 213.
I need to know about it in order to stop by.
Yeah.
That's right where the road to Brian Billick's house is, my partner. Literally right by Carmichael Road.
Good. RAR in Cambridge.
All right. I've heard about that.
You were just in Salisbury. Did you go to Evolution or any of the breweries over there? I mean, you were with my friend Jake Day. He had to have rang your ear about some local breweries.
It's Crab Cake Tour. At some point, I'll get to the Bloody Marys and the beer and all that. But I've been driving too much.
Yeah.
And I was at the Marlin. So I stayed in Ocean City the last 4 days. I saw friends. And I went to the Marlin. Just the boats and, I'm just experiencing things I've never experienced before, including chatting with Heather Mazier, who I voted for. I didn't remember what year it was, but I did.
2014.
I met you 30 minutes ago when you walked in here, but we've had you on the show. I love the part where she makes the show sound like NPR a little bit and smartens us up a little bit. All right, so you're running for office. Give everybody the elevator pitch. First things first, office you're running for and what that means.
I'm running for Congress.
And what job would that be?
Represent the 1st District of Maryland, which, as it's currently configured, are all 9 of the counties on the Eastern Shore, plus Harford County, Baltimore County, and Carroll County.
Everywhere I'm having a crab cake this month, by the
exactly.
way.
Exactly.
By the way, I'm having one in Caroline County. And I was going to do it today, and when I Googled Harry's on the Green,
they're closed. In Denton?
Yes.
They're closed right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to figure out Caroline County. You know what I mean? There's a Sharpstown Carnival, but that's not in Caroline County.
No, you'll want to come back for Summerfest on August 21st. It is August 21st.
What day do
it's a huge celebration in Denton, in Caroline County. It's called Summerfest, August.
It's a Saturday. I'm seeing Farner that night at the beach. We're going to a kangaroo farm, but I am waking up in Ocean City. Where is it? Caroline? It's not far?
No.
40 minutes.
Yeah.
30 minutes. Okay.
Yeah. Put it on your list.
They're going to have a crab cake?
Yeah. Of course. It's not Summerfest without crab cakes.
All right. Summerfest, 21st. Okay. I'm going to have to do that because I was going to try to do it next weekend because I'm in Easton. I've never been to Oxford. Never been on the ferry. I've never really been to Tillman to be there. I had breakfast there once, but I've never looked around. So I'm going to do the whole hook there and try to do. I'm doing Blackwater and Harriet Tubman when the convention's in Ocean City. Mm-hmm. So I'm back and forth.
Great. Good.
So don't
because
be so
another.
All
oh, right.
In me about
well,
the
then
birds.
I have to put.
And when my wife comes, I can make her drive.
You're on DD. Yeah. So to me, crab cakes and French fries and beer, it's all the same thing. You can't have one without the other. But yes,
you have to coleslaw too.
You have to be responsible if you're making it a tour.
I'm going to see how an Illinois girl does a crab cake every year a little bit. This notion of running, I think we talked to you about this before. You can, if you want to hear a longer segment with Heather from a couple months ago during the pandemic. You're doing this. Maybe you didn't think you were going to do this, right?
Had no plans on doing this. I was basically retired from politics as somebody who would run for office. I've always been engaged citizen.
Like Sugar Ray Leonard retiring. The Who retired. Like the Stones. You're not retiring. You have too much wisdom to offer.
And I didn't think I was going to run myself. I'm running a national nonprofit organization focused on bridging the and healing the divisions that exist in politics, running my farm, and having a really beautiful life.
You have a farm here?
Yes.
What's on this farm? You told me about the... It's not soybeans and...
No, it's not. It's a different kind of farm. We're more of a farmette. We're 34 acres. We have about 10 tillable acres, and we're growing medicinal herbs. My wife is a clinical herbalist.
Okay.
And so we grow things like St. John's wort and elderberry and mullein and a whole range of plants.
I'm going to have her on next after you run, win, do whatever. You know, I'm going to have her on, and she can we'll do an educational segment, and we can like go through them because I know they all have a
different
purpose.
Properties. Yeah,
yes, yes.
Exactly.
I've been to the East. I'm down with that. You know, come on. You know, I mean, so, but you don't grow heirloom tomatoes or corn or like that?
We do have a garden that we grow some food. We have 24 raised beds where we also have some mix of food for ourselves, not that we produce for anyone else.
But yours tastes better than anywhere else.
It's really nice. Yeah. You know,
what do you grow? What do you like? I mean, I love heirloom tomatoes.
Yeah.
Tomatoes
are always going to be my favorite.
What
hands
do you grow?
Down.
Purple Cherokee, what are you rolling? You got something you like?
Oh, I'm a big fan of the little orange ones.
They're so salty and delicious.
They just like pop.
Yeah.
And I love a caprese salad.
I had a really good one at Fratelli's the other day. They did an eggplant caprese tower. It was delicious. That's in Salisbury. You should go see them. I'm getting the days of the crab cakes. Oh, this is my mother's birthday, the 3rd. Heather Mazier is here. We're at 98 Cam. We're going to have a crab cake, but we're going to talk about your politics. Give me the 3 or 4 issues that everybody's on that you can win. Because the one thing I hear, I talked to somebody last week, old line person, had a home over here, loves chest chance, said, she's not winning. She can't win. Like, okay, fair enough. I heard
Let's start with that first. Let's start with that first because, you know, it's interesting. The 6 months I've been in the race so far, people are more eager to hear how are you going to win and what's your path to victory than even talking about the issues because they're so hungry to defeat Andy Harris. And some of it is that we have found ourselves in a situation for the last 10 years where our district was a little bit of a sacrificial lamb in the redistricting plan 10 years ago, and it got drawn as an overly conservative district. And as a result, it's been really hard to dislodge Andy Harris, who's just so out of step with the rest of Maryland. He does all of these really out of character, well, maybe not out of character for him, but out of character for our communities, really.
Out of the character that my mother taught me about.
Yeah, you know, like picking a fistfight on the House floor the night of January 6th when we should have been healing.
How about taking the side of the insurrectionist over the cops who defended his life? It's disgraceful.
Yes.
I don't have any problem. That's a little part of the absurdity. I mean, it's absurd. They're telling people to not get shots in the middle of a plague. It's affecting our ability that we're carrying this around the rest of our lives. It's very disappointing to me, and I don't even know where I'd begin to tackle those issues.
Right.
But for you,
so people
the most
are hungry.
Thing.
So people are hungry to know that there's an opportunity to defeat him. And as much as I wish politics weren't about how much money a campaign is raising, at this stage of a game, that is a real measurement. Money is energy. What kind of energy is flowing to the campaign? We have so many people so excited about the opportunity, not just to defeat Andy Harris, but upgrade our representation with someone who has an 8-year record of going into Annapolis, having really smart policy solutions to some of, and innovative approaches to some of our toughest challenges, working across the aisle to build consensus to get these things done. There's an excitement about the potential of being able to do that in Congress. And as a result, while we've only been in the race for 2 reporting periods for federal elections, we've raised $750,000 to Andy Harris's $420,000. We've outpaced him 2-1 in fundraising, and he's somebody who's been an incumbent for more than 10 years now. So there's a real sense of where is the excitement in this race. It is definitely coalescing behind me and my campaign, and some of it is because of my record of achievement, the path to victory, and how we can encourage people to approach politics that is about transcending partisanship and ideology to just do the right things for our communities.
Are people hearing that here?
Yes.
Are Trump voters talking to you?
Yes, they are.
Okay, that's
they
good.
Are.
That's good. That's
you know,
good.
They also sometimes aren't. I'm not going to, you know, paint a fake rosy picture. You know, there are certain people. I had a real interesting conversation at the Cecil County Fair last week. I was
that's
visiting.
My Thursday crab cake. I'm coming for you.
I was walking around the fairgrounds and had already spent time at the Democratic booth, but it's my posture to walk over to the Republican booth and introduce myself too. Not to necessarily win them over, but to be cordial. I'm right. really working to change the way we interact with each other in the world. And I started out having a conversation with two people who were really surprised and open-hearted that I was being so kind and generous in how we were engaging. And then another woman came over who was really edgy and really clear, like, you know, well, we're Republicans here and we support Andy Harris. And like, just sort of like, get the hell out was her attitude, right? And I just said, oh, I'm not here to try to discourage you from supporting Andy Harris. I'm not under any illusion that you'll support me, but I think that we can be friends. And the two people I had begun the conversation with were watching me interact with her, and she kept being aggressive and kept being aggressive. And it was almost the more I worked to diffuse and not respond the way she was wanting me to, the more the first two people I was talking to really kind of opened up. And after she left,
well, part of watching that is, do you deal with this all day? People used to ask me that as a sports radio show host. Is everyone like this every day? No, one person's like that every day.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally.
Exactly.
And it's a low point in the day, but mm-hmm. it doesn't wreck my day.
Yeah, and I've had more than you would expect people who have called themselves Trump supporters in our region that January 6th was a defining moment for them, too. I had no intention of running for office again, but that day, I'm a deep patriot. I care about my country and love it and our democracy and this experiment and how we can live up to the best ideals of who we know we can be under this framework of our government. I have always been about defending our democracy. Ever since I was a little kid, waking up and saying the American Creed every morning in my bedroom, to see our democracy come under attack that day and to know that our congressman was encouraging it and it has failed to even say that it was an insurrection. That is what is not okay. And I have former voters and donors of his that are backing me now. We are on the march and we are going to absolutely win this race.
Tell everybody about the election cycle and what the next 7-8 months of your life is going to represent, right? Because mm-hmm. you've been down this road before.
Been down this road before. I've not run for federal office before, but I've worked in the Congress for a number of years. I was John Kerry's domestic policy director before, during, and after his run for president. And when you're running for Congress, well, normally you would maybe be getting in the race right now, about a year and a half out. Announcing back in January was a little bit of an early entry, but it was because I was being motivated by a very particular moment to get in. These next several months are kind of full of a range of meet and greets, sitting down and talking with business owners. When you got here earlier and were connecting with the owner, Chris, the chef here, he and I had already sat down months ago talking about the impact of the pandemic on this business and the Restaurant Relief Fund and the PPP programs and various federal
and we're going to talk to him
money.
In segment three with the crab cake as well about what they're trying to do here. This was a different business a few years ago.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so having those conversations, what I've found is business owners will say to me when I lay out what it is that is available to them and my approach to constituent services and how I would represent them and connect them to these resources and always work to be value-added collaborator on the success of their businesses, they almost to a T, each and every one of them say, you mean a member of Congress would do that for me and my business? People have no idea what it's like anymore recently to be represented in a way where you're getting representation.
Well, they're used to abandonment.
They're used to that in the last 10 years. Now, Wayne Gilchrist, he knew how to represent this area well. Frank Cradaville did a good job. But, you know, and I'm not saying this because I'm taking Andy Harris on. Wayne Gilchrist was a Republican congressman. I always really respected that man. This isn't a partisan issue. This is, do you care enough about the job and the community that you're representing to really roll up your sleeves and do the work? Are you going to put in infrastructure requests for our community? Are you going to collaborate with businesses and make sure that they're getting connected to the Restaurant Relief Fund and advocate on their behalf when the money runs dry and there needs to be more federal investment into these programs? We don't have a representative here. And instead, he spends his time doing crazy stunts to get national attention, taking his mask off and marching over to the Senate chambers to make a statement that we shouldn't have to wear our masks in Congress.
The part that he's so associated with, the crazy lady from Georgia, and you know, the things that come out of that. I'm worried about voting rights. I mean, where are you nationally on this? And especially, we've talked about the gerrymandering. It is what it is. I mean, the Democrats in the state gave away a small piece of the pie, hoping to have a bigger piece of the pie, and it's come back all these years later to be not so good. And that's really where
gerrymandering,
we are.
Gerrymandering has never been good. When I ran for governor in 2014, I was one of the first candidates to suggest that we eliminate gerrymandering. The challenge is any one state that stops doing it is setting our state at a disadvantage to the way the national map works, with every other state making their own state-by-state choices in how this gets decided. Instead, what we need is the For the People Act, which Andy Harris voted against. It's pending in the Senate. It would eliminate gerrymandering, protect voting rights, and really get at a national approach towards nonpartisan commissions that make decisions on where the lines get drawn every 10 years. What gets complicated for state legislators who are making these decisions? When I was in the state legislature, I represented in Tacoma Park and Silver Spring my legislative district, the 20th district, overlapped two congressional seats. And everyone in my district was really eager to be unified under one congressional seat. And the map as presented for the area that I represented put that in one map, in one thing. But then do you vote against a larger map because, you know, there are other elements of it that doesn't work? Like, it really shouldn't be up to the legislature at the end of the day, because you've got this mix of what's right for your own individual district and then larger considerations about a map that on the whole, take politics out of it. Put nonpartisan commissions in charge. But doing that just in Maryland, when Texas and North Carolina and another state...
I don't know what nonpartisan means anymore. When I hear that, I almost chuckle, because I think it's a concept. You know, it's just a concept. It's a very hopeful concept, right? But I don't feel like it's either one way or another. The purple concept is a difficult concept.
Well, it's becoming...
Because
more
of the money.
Hard. It's becoming more difficult to envision because of how polarized our communities have gotten. But on redistricting itself, we could make decisions in national policy to decide to... you could even take it out of people's hands and say, let's look at waterways and divide communities up. You can set rules and
people would move across the line like they've done in Baltimore to the counties for 100 years. Maybe it wouldn't happen immediately, but people would move. For me, the money then creates the gerrymandering, which then creates the voting rights, which then stacks judges. You know, I it all starts with the money. But the gerrymandering part of it, I don't know that that's going to get cleaned up, because you've just given me every challenge there is across 50 states.
There is, however,
do you think
though,
it's going to happen here, though? Do you think there's any chance that this would happen in a way to benefit you?
There is definitely, I think, a move afoot to undo the impact of 10 years ago. And by undoing that, it just means balancing this out a little more. I don't think this district should be redrawn in a way that makes it a Democratic district per se, but shouldn't it look a little bit more like it did when Wayne Gilchrist represented us so well for 18 years, a district that is fairly moderately split? I would love to see more districts across America be more like 50-50, because when a representative is encouraged to weigh the considerations of a split district, that's where the consciousness of democracy is most alive.
We get a better country.
We have dialogue, and we come up with consensus and pragmatic solutions instead of someone like Andy Harris, whose district is so far to the right that he can participate in all the antics that he's been participating in. And there are some jokesters on the left that are just as theatrical and have as many stunts because their district is so far to the left. Like, it just, let's take the gaming out of this and get back to having dialogue on finding the best consensus approaches that are good for our communities.
Have I left anything out that's a top three, top four issue when they come up to you at the Peach Festival this weekend?
I just had
to get peaches in there. I'm on the Eastern Shore.
We've talked about broadband. We've talked about the agricultural.
But the things that a congressperson does in D.C., the things that you, when you get there, mm-hmm. the things you're in charge mm-hmm. of, not just the key issues, but in charge of everything, literally, right?
Seriously, it is a big job, and there are lots of considerations. Education comes up a lot. While we defer a lot of decisions at the local level, there are federal guidelines in elementary education that is getting reauthorized in the next couple of years. There's going to be some big decisions. How much are we going to keep pushing people to teach to test and having these rigorous standardized tests? Or are we starting to learn something from pandemic learning about the creativity and flexibility that needs to be available in the classroom for meeting kids where they are? And how do we address the learning gap that was created during this pandemic time? There'll be a lot of federal conversation about how to better partner in the federal laws on education. That so much of all of this is the feds have a certain role, the state has a certain role, localities have another role. That's where a government geek like me comes into play for being a really great representative. I've served at all those levels. I have relationships at all those levels, and I understand in a very intimate way how all of these things intersect for us to leverage the best decisions at the federal level that are going to help us bring more investments in at the state level. And then at the local level, what needs to be done to interface with those rules and regulations to draw down better investment for our local schools here.
It's been fascinating the last couple of days being in Ocean City and talking about the international kids working there. I spent the morning in Cambridge where primarily Mexican immigrants that come up, seasonal workers. I have video of how they shuck clean crabs, and it's interesting on this side of the shore, that's been something they voted against for long stretches of time, right? I mean, over the last 10 years, it's impacted these businesses, and it's impacted every business I will go to in regard to crab cake prices, mm-hmm. right? I mean, like literally, crab cake prices have been, and crabs, and just in general, the bay, and the workforce in Ocean City. I saw mm-hmm. lots of places that were still shuttered because they just... I took a picture in Cambridge of a sign, and it said on the wall, I'll show you the picture. I'll show our crowd this picture because I thought, boy, this is a pretty little telling thing here. Like everyone, we need help. This was the this was a sign outside of a restaurant. Workforce, mm-hmm. where are we in your potential district here on workforce? And obviously in the country, it's an issue.
We definitely need, and I have been encouraging, weighing in with the Biden administration on expanding the visas that we need for our access to more workers coming and helping, because we are running into this problem. And it's a big challenge. I mean, part of the reason you're on a crab cake tour, I noticed. You're not on a I'm going to go pick crabs everywhere I go tour. It's a lot of hard work for a little bit of payoff sometimes, though.
If you're going to pick
crabs,
with it.
If you're going to pick crabs and you're going to do it here in Kent County, I also have to send you over to Waterman's in Rock Hall.
Okay.
They have amazing crabs. It's my favorite place to pick crabs over here. And you're sitting right on the bay and the bridge is right behind you. It's gorgeous. But that's hard work. And it's work that oftentimes people in our local communities aren't as interested in doing. And so we need to have the support to our watermen and having the workforce to do the processing at the seafood plants.
Well, it's going to taste good. Segment three. She's like, are we getting lunch today? And
I'm seriously, like, yeah. I mean, I'm only here for the crab cake.
Well, you kind of picked this place, right? I mean, this was your, and then it turns out that Chris is a friend of mine who runs it. So we're going to meet Chris. We're at 98 Cannon. We're in Chestertown. It is so much nicer than it was in Ocean City. Yesterday it blew, although it was wonderful spending some time with Tom Palazzo. I hope everybody's checking that stuff out from Ocean City. We've been with Mayor Rick Meehan. We've also been with Mayor Jake Day in Easton. That was fun.
No, Salisbury.
I'm sorry. I correct myself.
It's always fun with Jake Day. Who's endorsed Heather Mazier for Congress, by the way?
There you go. Well, and also wants me to come to the zoo in Salisbury. But we didn't talk beer. That's next summer's tour. I'll do a beer tour next year.
Beer, coffee. You got to go back while you're on your tour.
Okay, here we go. I'm coming back twice.
There's an amazing National Folk Festival in Salisbury every year in September. So if you're going to come back anytime soon, to Salisbury.
She is selling me on this shore life over here.
I love it. Can you tell how much I love living here?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to come get some of your heirloom tomatoes and your peppers from your garden. Heather Mazier is here. She's running for office. You can go check her out. You can check us out at BaltimorePositive.com. I'm Nestor. The hashtag is Crab Cake Tour, and all of our stuff will be up on Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of those places. Back for one final segment and one delicious crab cake. We're at 98 Cannon. We're Chestertown first, but not the last.